The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, You fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift before the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. The Gospel of the Lord. This morning's Gospel touches on something that is always a kind of a broiling argument in Christian circles, the whole relationship between faith and works. And really what Christ is saying, if you want to summarize today's Gospel, is this. He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. Well, he's talking about the scribes and Pharisees. He says, unless your righteousness surpasses theirs, you will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what were the scribes and Pharisees? They were people who were professionals in trying to follow the law. The scribes were the lawyers. They were the ones figuring out all the intricacies. You know, if on a Sabbath such and such happens, up to how many steps can you take before, and, you know, trying to get down to the most nitpicky following of the law. That was the scribes. The Pharisees were people that were trying to put it into practice. People that were trying to, in a sense, separate themselves. They had families, just like today's Hasidic Jews would essentially be kind of your modern-day Pharisees. People living in the world with families, but trying to live a radical living of the Torah according to the letter of the law. And the danger that Jesus is saying is we can fall into legalism. And during the time of Jesus, that seems to have been the defect of the scribes and Pharisees. There are other generations that they were actually pretty good. After Israel was overrun, it was actually the descendants of the Pharisees that kind of gathered the people together and saved Jewishism, whatever the word for that would be. Anyway, but during the time of Jesus, their defect was they were legalistic and they had forgotten about the purpose of the law, which is to change and to convert our hearts. That's the only reason God gave us the law. And the reason we fall into that is simple. Each one of us, I think, can become a modern-day Pharisee when we start giving priority, for example. Some parishes have devotion wars. I don't know if you're familiar with devotion wars. I remember I was visiting a parish in San Antonio, and you know how very inconveniently Our Lady of Guadalupe is right before the Immaculate Conception. And you would have groups of people fighting over who's going to decorate the church, and as to which devotion would, you know, make Mary happier. So it's like, no, the important one is Our Lady of Guadalupe. No, the important one is Immaculate Conception. And you're like, it's Our Lady. You know what? Find her, keep her decorated for a couple days for Guadalupe and then switch it up if you want, whatever. I guarantee she's not going to be happy with you fighting over the rights to decorate the church. There's a, what is the opposite strain of that? Well, Martin Luther took things like this to an extreme, and this was where basically most of Protestant theology comes from. The idea that our works are worth nothing. In a certain sense, it's correct. Our works, in and of themselves, separated from God, there's absolutely nothing that we can do for salvation. I, not too long ago, was reading some meme or something, or some little, probably posted a long time ago, but it was in Facebook, and it was some Protestant pastor bashing Mother Teresa of Calcutta, saying, I used to think she was invulnerable, but apparently she's not. she's not a good Christian. Why? And you're like, oh my goodness, if that's not a good Christian, what hope do I have, right? Because she's putting her faith in works. She's going around telling a bunch of people that don't even convert to Christianity that they can be saved. And she's not even lifting a finger to try to evangelize these people. And she thinks that she can be saved by her works. Well, if that's the spin that you want to put on Mother Teresa, then you might be right, you know. The reality is Mother Teresa didn't have any time for any of that. She simply said, here is the gospel in five fingers. You want to know what it is? You did it to me. That was what she was living. Whatever you did to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. And I think this is, you know, that's why she's a saint, right? This is the way that we can and should live the gospel. Mother Teresa, I don't think, was overly wrapped up spending a lot of time worrying about her own salvation. Yeah, it's obviously it's there. You want to go to heaven and all that. I honestly think her concern wasn't going around trying to do good works so that she could be saved. I think she just simply wasn't even taking herself into consideration. She simply looked at her neighbor, loved her neighbor, saw Christ in her neighbor, and wanted to do anything she could to love Christ in and through her neighbor. With the confidence in the background of your mind that, if I am loving Christ, I'm not going to be too worried about my salvation because I love Christ and I know He loves me. Therefore, if I have that kind of relationship with God, I'm taken care of. I'm not really too worked up about it. That, I think, is a good synthesis of what it means for us to be Catholics. To love, to put love into practice, because if we just kind of love in the clouds without actually ever doing anything about it, you probably don't love. But to put love into practice for the sake of the person that we love, for the sake of loving God, loving our neighbor, and then letting the chips fall where they may. If we have that simple attitude, you and I, like St. Anthony of Padua, who are celebrating today, like Mother Teresa, will also become saints. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.